All right, Marty Lur here with our philosopher, Nick Hundley. We're going to see how he's doing, and we'll be able to do the protocol with him today. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing great, Marty. Good to be back on with you.
Yeah, we missed you last week. Of course, you guys are on the road, but how you feeling and what happened?
Took a pretty good foul ball in the eighth, I think it was on Tuesday, against Houston. And, they put me through all the protocols and all went well. So they do a really good job here of protecting you from yourself and making sure everything's good to go before you're allowed to get back out there. So, yeah, thankfully I'm ready to roll.
You know, we talked a little bit about Mike Matheny. We talked about him ending his career, foul tip. And when he was interviewed, he said he probably had 15 or 20 concussions before that no one ever dealt with because in those days they didn't deal with it. How do you feel about that? Have you been hit before, or every time now you do get hit, they check you?
Yeah, for sure. I think the stigma around concussions is a lot better now than when you first come up, and with all the stuff in the NFL going on, and obviously what Matheny and the guys before me had to go through. You get hit, and our trainers are really good every time to check you out now. I mean, it's just so important. I mean, your brain health is paramount. You get hit in the arm, the leg, whatever, you can play through that stuff, but if you get a bad shot to the head, you got to do something else for a little while. Take a break.
Well, it's funny because you have a football background, your dad being a defensive coordinator. Think about those guys and what they go through.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, it is a wild game and played by big, strong, fast guys that aren't playing half speed, So thankfully, and the baseball isn't as much of a head trauma sport. I know my dad has had some neck surgeries and he played and it's one of those things that you know what you're getting into going into it. And as long as you're okay with that, then go to work and do it.
Yeah. Now the mask is interesting for me. I remember when they came up with the mask, the catcher from Toronto, Ernie Witt, I think maybe I'm blanking on his name right now, he made the prototype. I forget the catcher's name from Toronto, but that was the first hockey kind of mask. Before that, they used the traditional mask. Now growing up, I imagine, did you ever use the traditional mask?
Yeah, I did until I think probably 2013 or 14. Yeah, I used to wear the two-piece, and then I felt like I was taking a little bit more of a blow from foul balls off that than I would the hockey mask. So a little less surface area on the hockey mask, a little more glancing blows if he doesn't hit you square on. So I've used it the last probably 4 or 5 years. I really like it.
It's funny, Nick and I love talking just life with you. I was thinking of hockey goalies.
Yeah.
How about a hockey goalie getting hit with a puck in the mask, and that you're talking 100, maybe 120, 130 miles an hour?
Yeah, those guys, I'd love to see what those guys go through physically and what type of workouts they do and their mindset. Obviously different sport, but man, they're so athletic to be able to skate and take close quarter shots and move around the ice forwards and backwards. It's really impressive. So if there's one position in sports that I'm most entertained by and most fascinated with, definitely be a hockey goalie.
Yeah, really.
Do you go to hockey games at all?
I love hockey games.
Where do you go?
I go to the Coyotes games a lot during spring training. I've been to a couple Sharks games. I want to go see some Vegas Knights games.
Yeah, very good.
Been to a Capitals game in D.C.
Okay.
So I try to, if we're in a city where there's a hockey game going on, I try to find it.
I love the end of a season, the championship. This Ovechkin, if I said his name correctly, I've never seen a guy more excited to win a championship than that guy. How about that?
Man, we went to a playoff game in D.C. one year. They played the Rangers, and we had an off day. And watching him play, he was so much faster and bigger than everybody else on the ice. It was unbelievable. And he played so hard. So to see him win a championship, it was really cool. When we watched him, it was like, man, this guy's pouring his heart and soul into this game. And to see all that work pay off and get a Stanley Cup, was pretty cool. And then when we were in D.C. this year, they brought the Stanley Cup into the clubhouse, and we got to take a picture with it and see it. So it was really cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So that's the Stanley Cup now, championship baseball. You got a trophy. What if they let you take that home?
Oh man, I'd take in the heartbeat. I would love that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, boy, interesting to see the crossover in sports. Nick Hundley, always a pleasure catching up with him. I was watching catching this week and pitching, and you guys had a couple of tough games, and I was thinking about catchers and calling a game. And, you know, you sit in the stands and I'm looking and you see three pitchers in a row. The hitter doesn't touch it. And you're calling the game. Do you ever get nervous and say, can I call that again?
Yeah, for sure. There's so much that goes into the pitch calling sequences, what your pitcher can do, what they can execute, how that hitter has been swinging that day or the last week or so, and what their swing is like. And then trying to match up your pitcher's strengths and really put him in a comfortable position to be successful. But, man, you know, you got to get the game we lost against Houston, White, the first baseman, got to give him credit because Ray threw two fastballs right by him, and then he threw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball at the top of the zone, and he got to it and hit a homer. It was like, man, that was a really, really good in at bat adjustment by him, and it was such a professional at bat that, you know, obviously you're disappointed you lost, but that was one of those things like, wow, it was big on big, and they beat us, and we threw our best pitch, and we got beat on it. So you can sleep a little easier at night, but, you know, it's obviously tough, but when a guy turns it around like that in the middle of an at-bat, that was really impressive.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I was thinking of Romo when I asked the question, and, you know, he throws the slider away, and there's so many pitchers that'll rely on that slider, and he'll throw two, and you don't touch it. I say, can he really go there again? So as a catcher, do you worry about the third time with a pitch, like a pitch like that?
Yeah, I think it depends on the location of the first two. You know, like how were they executed? If you throw... Say you throw a hanging slider, 0-1 after the first pitch slider, you throw a hanger and it doesn't get hit. You're much more comfortable throwing down another slider because if he executes the pitch, it's probably not going to get hit either, you know. Yeah. But if you execute two in a row and there were quality pitches, you're like, man, can I ask him to throw another one and execute it even better? Because if he's seen the 2A sliders, it's like, man, do I want to change this guy's eye levels? Do I want to speed him up a little bit? Or do I want to just try to wipe him out with another slider?
Yeah, no, it's great. I think it's a fascinating part because when I grew up, many times the manager called the pitches or the pitching coach called the pitches. That's not the way it is today.
No, yeah, that's wild.
They called the pitches.
I didn't know that. That's really cool. I think my college coach would call some pitches sometimes. He'd let me call them sometimes too, but obviously there's a lot of prep that goes into it, and we dive in pretty deep in terms of the reports and their offensive strategies and their swings that we're facing. So we're well prepared to call the pitches, and it's one of the most underrated things in the game, I think.
Yeah. Believe me. I mean, that's why I think about it, because we watch the at-bats, and we watch go up, go in, and, you know, sometimes it becomes predictable. You know, I've watched 50,000 games. You know, slider away, all right, up and in, slider away. You know, that's the pattern, but you can't fall into a pattern in the big leagues because these hitters will figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you got to be creative.
Yeah.
You got to go out there and create and change on the fly. And you got to know guys that have the ability to adjust in a game, in a bat. You got to try to get the best hitters out in the world 4 or 5 times a game. And it's a great challenge.
Yeah, I think something you said resonates. I just emphasize it for the fans. And that is when the pitcher throws the great pitch and doesn't get it past the hitter, you got to think, well, wait a minute, I don't think I'm going to do that again.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask a pitcher to execute a pitch and he executes it and throws it where you ask him to throw it and it gets hit, like, man, I probably should have called something else, you know. So, definitely it's a fun dynamic because you're working with 12, 13 different pitchers on your staff, and you're trying to find out how we can get the most out of every one of them.
How do you remember You know, they do, you know, again, I go back, they used to have the meetings, you know, and what do you throw to Mays? Let's go to the next guy. Forget about that. What do you throw to McCovey? But there is a pattern that you're supposed to use with hitters. How do you remember what to do?
Yeah, I try to just think about the swing path that the guys have, what type of swing they have, where their barrel's getting in the zone with the most most danger and where they have the most strength. Because if you think of eight different pitches you can throw a guy with a right-handed pitcher and then eight different pitches you can throw a guy with a left-handed pitcher, then there's 12 position players. I'm not good at math, but that's a lot of different pitches you have to remember and think about and throw and stuff like that. So I think if you think of more in terms of path, you can really, really not simplify it, but you can make it a lot easier on yourself.
Yeah, no, great answer. That's why you're the philosopher. That's why, Nick, I loved learning so much about baseball from you. Someone asked me the other day about screwball pitchers, and I don't mean goofy people. I mean people that throw the screwball. Yeah, have you caught a screwball pitcher?
No, never have.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's got to be one of those things that got to be tough on the arm, right?
Yeah.
No, you're turning it the other way. So for folks, lefty throwing a screwball, the ball, when it comes to the plate, will go towards first base.
Yeah.
And it's in Fernando Valenzuela threw it and Mike Norris, and there's been some good ones. Yeah, someone asked me the other day. We don't see it very often. What about a knuckleball? Have you caught a knuckleballer?
Caught one knuckleballer, Charlie Hager in San Diego. It was not my favorite thing in the world to do. I'd much rather not catch a knuckleballer, but, you know, it's one of those things that it's tough to hit. I think it's even tougher to catch. So one of those things I would, yeah, if there's a knuckleballer, we might give Buster a chance to catch him.
Well, they say if it's high, let it fly. If it's low, let it go.
Yeah, hitting-wise.
Yeah.
But catching-wise, you're like, just knock it down.
Well,
I'll tell you another thing. I love doing a little history with you, where we appreciate your time. But they came up with a glove that was like, I mean, seriously, about 2 feet for the knuckleball catcher. And in the late 60s, they came up with a glove that was gigantic just so they could knock it down.
Yeah, it's like a first baseman catcher's glove.
Bigger.
Yeah, really bigger than that one?
Yeah.
Man, I know when I caught Charlie Hager in San Diego, he brought a glove. He had a catcher's glove that he would bring and let everybody that caught him use it.
Yeah.
And because I don't have a knuckleball glove.
Yeah.
So I'd use the one he brought and say, here we go. Try to keep it in front of you.
All right, Barry Bonds' number is being retired over this weekend, a very special weekend. I look up at the numbers. My God, there's Mel Ott and Bill Terry and Carl Hubbell, a knuckleballer, Monty Irvin, Willie Mays. There's one blank there. Then we know who that's going to be. We got Marichal, Orlando, Gaylord, and McCovey. How about that and getting your number retired?
That's amazing. Obviously, you've done a lot for the franchise, a lot for the city. Played at a very high level for a long time, and this is a story to franchises as anybody. And this, I feel like this franchise has some of the greatest players to ever play the game that played for it. So to join that group, it will be real special. Obviously, you know, I don't want to speak for him or what he's going through or any of his emotions, but it's got to be enjoyable.
Yeah, I imagine you're going to look forward to it, won't you?
Yeah, it'll be cool to see. You know, I was part of Trevor Hoffman's number retirement in San Diego. One of the best guys, not only one of the greatest pitchers, but one of the best people to play this game. So I was really fortunate to be around for that and see how the fans and see how many teammates came back for him and how the city really embraced Trevor Hoffman. So it'll be fun to see what happens with Barry's.
Now, what number are you?
I'm number five. I was number four my whole career until Baltimore, Earl Weaver's number was retired. And then here, obviously, Mel Ott's number was retired. So I've been number four everywhere except for here in Baltimore.
All right. So you're five here. It's yep. Joe DiMaggio, but we won't. But it must be interesting to think of your number being retired somewhere.
Nah. Yeah. Nah.
Well, I mean, if someone else's number is used, that's your number.
Oh, yeah. I think Mel Ott was had claimed a number four, and he's a much better baseball player than me. So I'm just fortunate to wear this number and be here for sure.
I like the idea that your whatever number you have somewhere has been retired. So I think that's what we're trying to say. Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure having you on, as always. I'm glad things are well with you. And we'll talk more baseball. Let's see, you guys are going away and come back. I think it's the Mets weekend, I think, when we see you the next time. So, or maybe Texas. Texas here, we see you the next time. So, Nick, thanks so much.
Hey, Marty, always a pleasure, man. Great to see you.
Yeah, very good. That's good stuff. Nick Hundley, more coming up on the Sports Leader.